evening. Good to see all of you here tonight, and I hope you have received an outline for our study in the book of Job. And tonight is our second one of these, and we'll be looking at the book of Job together for a little while, and I'm honored that you're here. And if you're a guest with us tonight, I'm Pastor Mike, and we're glad to have you. And if you don't have an outline, there's some at the back, there's some on the chairs, and you can pick one up, but it would probably be helpful. You could make yourself some notes and you could look at that. So tonight we're going to be looking in chapter 2 of Job, Job chapter 2. And so let me read it, and then I'll make a couple of comments. And we're going to talk tonight about how to praise God in loss and trouble. How to praise God in loss and trouble. So I want to be very practical tonight, and we're going to learn from Job. We're going to learn from righteous Job about this matter. But before we do, let's read. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God here refers to the angels. So the angels were presenting themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. So Satan still has accountability to the Lord God. So the Lord said to Satan, this is the second time we read these words, where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, this is the second time, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he, Job, took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. And this is very important. This will be the phrase from chapter 2, along with some other things we'll look at tonight in detail. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe and threw dust over his head, over their heads toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. So please notice that that last phrase, they saw that his pain was very great. In verse 11, they heard, verse 11, of all this adversity that had come upon him. Verse number 8, Job took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. So we do a comparison here just for a moment. Notice this in the first chapter, we remember that the call of Satan to God, the challenge of Satan to God was, if you'll take away, does Job fear God for nothing? Verse 9, chapter 1. You've made a hedge about him, you've blessed him, you've protected him. Put forth your hand, touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And you remember we talked about this. It's hard to explain in English this, but I'll try to take a shot at it again. The word to curse and the word to bless in the Hebrew language, barak, is the same word. So this is actually a play on words, and it's a beautiful thing in the Bible. The Bible is so magnificent and wonderful. It's God's amazing and errant word. And so the irony is that a blessing and a cursing come from the mouth. This is the old Hebrew rabbinic idea that from the mouth comes both cursing and blessing, and it comes from the same root word, barak. So here we have this challenge that we find. So tonight, one other thing, so just to compare, remember now, so what is God's view of Job as we study the book? Verse 8 of chapter 1, have you considered my servant, Job? Have you considered someone who's rebellious? He's not saying, have you considered somebody who's, you know, just another person that's great and has a lot of things. No, this is my servant, Job. In the mystery of God, God permitted and allowed in his wisdom and his sovereignty for his own righteous servant. Remember, this is before the coming of Jesus and the New Testament and righteousness, imputed righteousness. This is pre-law. This is an old patriarchal time, the days of Abraham and others. Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth. He says this twice. There's no one like him on the earth. He's a blameless and upright, fearing, God-fearing, and turning away from evil. Then you'll notice in the second occasion when God brings Job to the attention of Satan. Did you notice what God says to Satan after he asks him, have you considered my servant Job? It's the same language, chapter 2, verse 3. However, a sentence is added. And he still holds fast his integrity. Although you incited me against him to ruin him without a cause. Sometimes suffering is unfair. Sometimes suffering comes without a cause. There's no reason, there's no way to explain it. You know, I've spent most of my ministry life sitting with people in all kinds of horrible circumstances, asking me why, and there is no answer sometimes to why this kind of unfair suffering happens. So the book of Job is a journey for us all. And I don't know, you know, I know most of you in here tonight, I love you in Jesus, and you know, a lot of us have walked through a lot of different kinds of waters together and troubles and loss that you've had in your family or I've had or we've all had. Our church goes through that regularly. We have many people here, some rejoicing and some suffering greatly, all at the same time. So I don't know how it could be that somebody could commit themselves to follow Jesus, trust the Lord, be doing everything they can to tell other people about Jesus, and then have some horrible thing happen in their life. I only read to you what God said to Satan, although you incited me against him to ruin him without a cause. So Satan answered, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. So what would it take for us tonight? What would it take? What does it take? What comes in life that could drive us away from God? By the way, this was the other thing I mentioned to you the other night. and we were doing so much we couldn't really get to this. Tonight, here's the point. The book of Job is about what Job says in his suffering. See, this is the way I'm going to take you through it. There's so many ways we could take you through the book, and some of you will be disappointed because we won't go through every detail. We didn't pick this out. I want to stay with what Job said and what he didn't say. This is how we learn to praise God in loss and suffering. We learn what are my words going to be toward God when I suffer unjustly. This is the theme here. This is the theme. Our words. Will I barak and bless, or will I barak and curse? By the way, this word barak also means to say goodbye. And this is what we find in this chapter. And I'm giving you this information before because I want to get to our outline, but this will help you because some of these things are curious. Let's remember that Job's wife also was suffering. You know, there have been a lot of jokes about Job's wife. There was great loss in chapter 1. 10 children, gone. All their possessions, gone. All their wealth, gone. Everything gone. And so we find this, Job's response in chapter 1 and Job's response in 2:10 are important. But when Job's wife says, "Do you still hold fast your integrity?" Notice God praised his integrity in suffering after his first words. We'll see more of what it means to have integrity. You know, when you have integrity, you praise God when you lose things and when you suffer loss and trouble. It's integrity. It's integrity. It's learning to understand who God is and trust Him by faith when we don't know why everything is happening. But notice, his wife says in verse 9, "Do you still hold fast your integrity?" What she means here in verse 9 is not curse God like Satan was talking about. It's a play on the words. And this is my frustration of us reading this in the English Bible. The phrase in the Hebrew here is to say goodbye. Say goodbye and die. So I was thinking about that tonight as we start. How do people respond to suffering and pain? Well, Tennessee's number one on prescription drug abuse in the United States of America. What a thing to be number one in. Number one. More than California. I used to live there. That's a crazy place. More here than California. More than New York City. We're the ones who make fun of New York City. More than Texas. More than anywhere else in the United States. So much of that abuse comes because it is the need to dull the mind from the pain of loss and trouble. Oh, we could spend our time. You know, this is what some came to me last week. Well, you know, what kind of suffering is this? Again, I want to read to you. You incited me against him to ruin him without a cause. Without a cause. This is unfair suffering. This is the suffering, this is undeserved suffering that happens to righteous people who are seeking to follow Jesus, and there's no rational explanation. So tonight, we think about what do people do when they suffer great loss and trouble? They take drugs. They drink alcohol. Had one of my pastor friends call me from Daytona Beach, Florida today, desperate to help find his church secretary's son, 31 years old. He's an alcoholic. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He won't do what some have done and go to the steps that need to go. He won't do it. He refuses to do it, to take the help. So, you know, he's calling because of some resources that we've been familiar with in the past. And again, I'm reminded, drinking, drugs, drowning in work, isolating ourselves from everybody. How do you handle loss and trouble. Well, I wish I could stand here before you and say, I'm too old to lie to you. If you're not in trouble, probably going to have some soon. If you're in it, how you doing in it? If you're coming out of it, how you doing coming out of it? It's the nature of life. It's the nature of this world that we live in. And I wish there was an easier way to describe it. The Lord Jesus suffered greatly, completely undeserved. Completely undeserved. So this picture of Job is for us, and I hope you'll stay with me. We've got a journey to go on here. You know, so we're all going to come to this, and this is what's so beautiful about Job. We're going to find Job's friends next week, and we'll start into a whole other section. It's a very long section of Job where there's a lot of talking. I mean, lots of philosophy and ideas about God and all this talk. And you know, that's what I discovered. I love what a preacher told me when I first started in the ministry. He said, you know what, Mike? Number one, you're too young to know anything, which I didn't appreciate too much, but it was true. Number two, the best thing you can do when you sit with people who suffer is just sit with them and be quiet. No talking. Because the more you talk, it starts getting really crazy. Hence, we're going to find with Job's friends. But that's not for tonight. I want to be as practical as I can with you as your pastor. I wish that none of us would ever get a phone call. You know, here we have this repeated in chapter 1. One slave after another comes, and while he's speaking, another comes, and while he's speaking, another comes. You know, I can't repeat all of last week. Devastating news comes. This devastation comes in Job's life. And now we come to our focus tonight on how to praise God in loss and trouble. Go back to chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, Barak, be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin. Please notice we saw this last week. Nor blame God. Now, chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And again, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips while he is scraping. Anybody here ever had a boil? Oh, my soul, just saying it. I've had them. You know, give me some raisins so I don't get any boils. That was a joke, but some of you didn't get the joke. My mother used to say when I'd get a boil, "Well, you just need to eat some more raisins." Whatever, Mom. Give me the raisins. Pat still does it. Here's the raisins. While he's scraping his skin with boils from head to toe, he says to his wife, who says, "Why do you hold on to your integrity? Just say goodbye and die. It'd be better. Why live? Why live like this? Just say goodbye and die." And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So number one, let's take Job's words and work through them. Number one, how do we praise God in loss and trouble? You're either going to need this now or someday. I hope it'll help you. First, we must express to God our pain and sadness in loss and trouble. Notice what he does here. This is very important in verse 20. We don't have the traditions that the ancient world would have, sadly. We need some of these kinds of things. Job stood up and he tore his robe, which is an incredible sign of lamenting, sorrow, and pain. He tore his robe. And then he shaved his head, a sign of mourning. Well, I want to remind us all tonight, and I've put it there for you. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus would say, blessed are those who mourn? Isn't that good? They shall be what? Who's the one who comforts the mourning? The Lord. God is there. Remember what Paul said? I get so frustrated on our time, but you know, that's all right. We'll go as far as we can, and then that'll be good. But I must read this to you. Such good words. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God, are you listening to me, of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a statement. So, Job expresses his mourning and his sadness. You know, this is important. So when loss and trouble comes, do you express it or do you hide it? People have said to me, walking with them through, well, you know, our family just doesn't express emotion. Friend, when you have loss and trouble, you should express emotion. God made you as an emotional person. Well, our family's, you know, well, we're Germans, we don't have emotion. What in the world kind of talk is that? What do you mean you're German and you have no emotions? You have emotions. It's the expression that I want you to see in Job. He is expressive. He's expressive. He expresses to God his pain in his loss. I want you to remember. Please hear these words. Job 2:13. They sat down on the ground with him for 7 days, 7 nights with no one speaking a word, for they saw that his pain was very great, not just physical, his emotional pain. So what does a man do or a woman in the midst of their greatest feelings of undeserved? Oh, I know when I suffer and I deserve it. So do you. We all do. We can make excuses, but we know it. We know it. We express to God our pain and our sadness. We must find a way to mourn. And we must allow people to mourn. We don't like people to mourn. It's okay. It'll be all right. Pull your britches up. Pull your bootstraps up. We got to go, go, go. Let's just get busy. And then, No. God made us emotional people. He made us so that when pain and sadness come our way, it's real. We cannot tell people something's not real. So before I can praise God, I must express my pain and my mourning to God. Secondly, he bowed in worship. So what do I do when I suffer loss and trouble comes my way? He fell to the ground. First he stood up, he ripped his robe, he shaved his head, but then he fell on the ground, and this word, this Hebrew word for worship is to lay completely flat on the ground. He laid on the ground and he worshiped God. This is a sign of recognizing God's absolute authority and sovereignty over everything in his life. And we must find our way to that. Every knee must bow. We bow our heads. You know, I talk about posture with you sometimes. You know, if you're able to do it and you can ever kneel, you should kneel. Praying and kneeling. If you can do it, lay on the ground and pray. But for some of us, just make sure somebody's there to help you get up. Worshiping on the ground, bowed before the Lord. You see the picture of it? Complete submission. Psalm 5:1, as for me, by your loving kindness, I will enter your house at your holy temple, and I will bow Same word as worship here in Hebrew. I will bow in reverence for you. Psalm 95:6, come let us worship and, same word, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. I must worship in my loss and trouble. I must be willing to express total dependence on the Lord for life. Job says this very famous phrase, you've heard it all your life, but let's think about it for a moment. Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I returned there. Not to the womb. The picture, this is another one of those phrases, it's hard to translate. The idea is I return back to God. This is the idea. Naked I come from my mother, naked I return to the Lord. You see, nakedness is something that's a part of this world. Death is being unclothed. Ecclesiastes 5:15 describes the same idea. As he had come naked from his mother's womb, so he will return. He will take nothing. Oh, this is, may America hear this? May we all hear this tonight? What you spend your time amassing and compiling, listen, may you hear the word of the Lord. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor that he can carry in his hand. Naked. Naked. Nakedness. 1 Timothy 6:7, Paul picks up on the same thing, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Total dependence on God. I want to show you a magnificent verse, and I want you to find, this is going to be your Bible drill for this evening, okay? Ready? Draw swords. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. Ah, there you go. Yeah, some of you are looking at me, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor Mike? We'll take our time. I want you to get over there. I want you to find Habakkuk. When you get to Habakkuk, I want you to notice something very, very important. When you think about God's, when you think about this thing of total dependence on the Lord, here's what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to get at this idea of nakedness, because nakedness is a description of complete dependence. At the very end of Habakkuk, right after Nahum, in my Bible it's on page 889, but that's probably not going to help you. The very end of Habakkuk, which is a sad word of a prophet. This book is such a sad book. It's a book about the suffering of God's people. I want you to read these words. This is an amazing, amazing statement. Verse number 17 of chapter 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. Oh, you ready? Yet I will exult in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hind's feet, and makes me walk on my high places. Is that not good, folks? So we saw on Sunday mornings, we're talking about the secrets of joy. Look at this. Though I don't have anything, I'm completely dependent on God, I will exalt and I will rejoice in the Lord. So how do I praise God in loss and trouble? I express my pain and sadness. I mourn. I bow in worship before the Lord and I worship Him for the loss and trouble. I express to God my total dependence on Him. I'm naked coming into this world. I'm naked when I go out. and then expressing to God thanks in His giving and taking in life. Now I want to spend just a moment here and go back now to our text in chapter 1. Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return to God. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. We don't like that. We like the first part, we don't like the second part. When you were growing up, didn't you love it when your parents gave you things? Man, I was all for that. But I didn't like it when my parents took things away. And sometimes they did. Sometimes they did. And it was for my own good. They took it away. It took away my privileges for something, or they took away, you know, at each age, you all know this, we've all, those of us who've reared children, you know, the giving and the taking away is the art of parenting, right? You got to learn how to do it. How much do I give? And then remember, if you give it to them, you might have to take it away, and that's really hard. So be careful what you give them. Be careful what you give them. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I want you to see this, 1 Samuel 2:7. In the great prayer of Hannah, the Lord makes poor and rich, and He brings low and He also exalts. James, I didn't add, this is an additional to these scriptures for you, but James 1:7 is a good one for you to meditate on. Remember what James said? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift, God, the giver. He's the giver of all these good things. Deuteronomy 8. It's such an important response to teach us this Old Testament principle, but it's the nature of God. Here, let me just read it, Deuteronomy 8:10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His ordinances, His statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness. So, He gives, but the Lord also takes away. Ecclesiastes 3:1, we know it. There is a time appointed and a season for everything. And in that list, we all know the list in Ecclesiastes 3, time to be born, time to die. Things given, things taken away. Things given, things taken away. 2 Samuel 12, when the prophet comes and tells David that he has sinned against God, committing adultery with Bathsheba, he says, "You're the man." And at the end of that, the Lord takes away David's child. David confesses and says, "I have sinned." And the prophet says, "Yes, God forgives you for your sin, but the child will be taken away. The child will be taken away." We love the blessings of God. Bring it on, God. I just deserve it. I'm an American. Bring it on. We don't like taking away. But the God of heaven, the great God of heaven, gives and takes away. Why does He do it, Pastor Mike? That is in the wisdom and sovereignty and knowledge of God. And I do not know why. I do not know why. Nor do you. We don't know. Psalm 54:6. Willingly. I wanted you to see this psalm. You need to take this home and think about it. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. And we know that in the New Testament, sacrifice in the New Testament is thanking God for what He does in our lives that we don't understand. Willingly I sacrifice to you and I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. And then there's the classic verse we quote all the time, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks for everything For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Say, well, I'm mad at God. Yes, and people do get mad at God. They do. People blame God. People get mad at God. People say goodbye to God. They abandon God. They don't want to walk with God. But when loss and trouble comes, those who walk in their integrity and fear God express their sadness and their loss to God. They bow and worship before the Lord in their trouble. Remember, you're not worshiping God so He'll make it better. You're worshiping God saying, if you want to do this, I worship you and honor you as the great God of heaven and earth. Naked I come from the womb. I'm totally dependent on you and I give thanks to you. And then we honor God and praise His character. What does He say next? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, that phrase, the name of the Lord has to do with the character and person of God. When you talk about who He is, bless the, Psalm 106, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. There's part of His name. He's the eternal God, church. He's the eternal one. There's no ending. There's no beginning. He's the eternal one, from everlasting to everlasting. Let the people say amen and praise the Lord. So we celebrate, we praise God, we bless the Lord. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Every day I will barak you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, I have to tell you, I haven't always done that. I still don't always do it. Sometimes I'm not praising God. I'm griping and complaining and murmuring. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will barak. I will bless the Lord at all. It's the same word here. It's the same word, same root word. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, if I'm praising God, I can't be criticizing you. If I'm praising God, I can't be complaining about something. My mouth can only do one thing at a time. And then finally, we express to God our complete acceptance of loss and trouble. This is really hard to do now. I'm not standing here saying, look, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do this. But you know, a lot of people live a lot of years and they never accept the losses that are now fixed in their past. Look, there is no going back. It's done. The loss and the trouble's real. The loss and the trouble is fixed in time. But here you are today. It was here, and here you are. So what do you do? This was Job's dilemma when his dear wife, who also was suffering, said, give up your integrity, say goodbye and die. And there we read his wonderful words. They're words for you and I tonight. These words, let Job's words as we finish be words for you and for me in our loss and troubles. Shall I or shall we, church, shall we indeed accept, see this is the word I'm picking up in the New American Standard, accept good from God and not accept, two times the word used, adversity? No, I must accept it. Because that's a part of me, by faith, trusting God. Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other so that man will not discover anything that will be after him. And the literal way to read it is so he won't take anything for granted. You know, the good and the bad both come from God. He permits it. This is the thing we don't understand. Why does God permit it? I do not know. Why does God permit the evil one to do what he does? I do not know. It's within the power of God to destroy the adversary this very moment, but he does not, for his own purposes, for a greater glory, for that which God, which honors God. He permits the adversary to do his work. Satan only speaks three times in the Bible. You know that, don't you? There's only three places. That's right. In the garden, right here to God, and to the Lord Jesus. That's it. But his work goes on. So between the troubles that are permitted and the activity and work of the evil one on the godly, remember, the prosperity and the adversity that comes in our life are so that we'll remember to take nothing for granted. Every one of your days matter. By the way, you're older today than you've ever been. You are. And God has given you at least till 7:29 and 43 seconds life today. So, 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. I would only ask you now, and I hope you'll do this before you go to bed tonight. You know, if you go home tonight and you just turn on the television, what for what? I'm going to tell you, okay, it's the same news you heard before you got down here. They didn't have anything else happen. You know, except somebody else shooting somebody or stabbing somebody or another car wreck or what is there? Go home and do this. Have I praised God for the losses and troubles in my life? Some of you haven't accepted it. You have to accept it. Well, I don't like this. I can't blame God for my losses. I have to praise God for the losses and trouble in my life. Have I accepted God's work in me? You see, he takes, as we learned on Sunday morning, the first secret of joy is he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, I'm looking at people who know this. Look, I'm quoting Romans 8. All things work together for good to those who love God. But the all things aren't good, right? We know that. And today, perhaps you confess your selfishness. You know, you've been feeling sorry for yourself long enough. And people have sympathy for you. But what about you and God? What about you and the Lord? Commit to bless the Lord at all times. So may the Lord's word be with us. And each week, so as we work along here, we'll go to chapter 3 next week. If you can read it ahead of time, there are 26 verses. And I hope you can read chapter 3 because I can't. The frustration of Job is I can't read the whole text sometimes. So go to chapter 3 because now Job is going to show us a little bit more what it's like to express pain and loss and trouble and teach us how to do that in the right way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. There is